Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputación de Málaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 14th of March. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's panel, Talk Radio's current affairs show with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. With you for the next 2 hours. In those next 2 hours, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of subjects, everything from matters relating to property, because I've got an expert in there. We'll also be looking at a little bit of Spanish politics as well, because I'm an expert in that. And if we need to talk about snow, well, I've got a Canadian in the house as well. So there you go. On today's show, we've got a full house joining me today from my right, and I'm speaking physically, not politically, but on my right is Claudio De La Torre. Good morning to you, Claudio.
Good morning, Giles, and good morning to everyone listening to us.
You're blowing the people out. I'm joined also on my left, and again, only metaphorically, by Community Campbell. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you. And right down the centre, I'm delighted to welcome back the nicest man in radio, Ron. Morning to you, Ron.
Good morning, Giles. Thank you for your invite, and it's nice to be back.
Indeed. In the next 2 hours, we're going to be doing a variety of subjects. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, then we've got a full house today. I haven't had that for a while, but if you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers you need to get in touch with us today. With you for the next 2 hours, I have said. Right then, let's have a look at what's making the front pages in the UK. The UK on this Tuesday, the 14th of March. Pressure on BBC bosses and SVB tremors spread are the main headlines today. Going through them this morning. Tuesday's Times leads on the plans by the US, the UK and Australia to build a new generation of nuclear-powered submarines. Defence sources tell the paper that under the AUKUS security pact, Britain could double its fleet of attack subs. The paper says the deal is seen as vital to responding to a world that's becoming more dangerous more quickly than expected. The Daily Mail describes the pact as a major coup for British engineering that will create thousands of jobs in the UK. Papers including the Telegraph and the Times report the Chancellor will boost tax-free allowances for pensions in tomorrow's budget with the aim of encouraging early retirees back to work. Times says the lifetime allowance will rise from £1 million to £1.8 million, its joint highest level on record of £1.8 million, benefiting nearly 2 million people. The amount people can contribute to their pensions each year before incurring tax will also reportedly rise by half to £60,000. Financial Times describes how the failure of Silicon Valley Bank tore into the global markets yesterday. The investors dumped their bank stocks and, according to the paper, ripped up their forecasts for further rises in interest rates. The paper's column accuses central banks and regulators of paying too little attention to the risks posed by rising interest rates, which it says left lenders like Silicon Valley Bank exposed. For the London business paper, City AM, UK tech firms breathed a sigh of relief when an 11th hour deal was agreed yesterday for HSBC to take over Silicon Valley. Valley Bank's British subsidiary. The Sun and the Daily Mirror lead on Gary Glitter being recalled to prison. The Sun says it comes after its Sunday edition reported how the 78-year-old had been filmed at his bail hostel discussing how to access the dark web on a smartphone. Most of the other papers focus on the BBC's impartiality row with Gary Lineker. The Guardian says BBC bosses are under renewed pressure after the presenter was allowed back on air without having to make any significant concessions. For the Daily Mail, the fact that Gary Lineker has kept his job while still tweeting is a slap in the face for licence fee payers. The Daily Express asks whether the affair has put the final nail in the coffin of the licence fee, and quotes Tory MPs who support changes to the corporation's funding model. Finally, the Daily Telegraph reveals that gorillas deliberately spin themselves around in circles. I'm not making this up. Gorillas deliberately spin themselves around in circles to reach a mental state equivalent to being high on drugs. I don't know who makes. Yes, stop spinning, you lot. Stop spinning, right? anyway, where were we? And our earliest ancestors are likely to have done the same. So that's two of you for a start. A study in the journal Primates, never miss an issue, says the apes behavior is mirrored by some humans, including dancing dervish Muslims and children enjoying a merry-go-round. The researchers believe it could be the first kind of high predating psychoactive drugs. Who would have thought that here we go around the merry-go-round is a gateway drug? But anyway, let's have a look at some of those headlines again, exactly what the front pages are saying. The eye, pressure grows on BBC bosses over Lineker climb down. The Guardian, BBC bosses face pressure after U-turn over Lineker. Time for a sharp exit. That's the Metro. Calls for BBC chief to go over Lineker's fiasco. A slap in the face for BBC licence payers. That's the Mail. The Express has Lineker put a nail in the coffin of licence fee. Meanwhile, FT, Financial Times, banks battered and rates forecasts reined in as SVB trimmers. Spread. The Times, PM strikes submarine deal to face new threat. The Daily Telegraph, boost for pensions as Hunt ready to raise cap. The Sun, Glitter back in jail. The Mirror also, Glitter back in jail. And finally, the Star to put a smile or something on your face. The Daily Star, the great BBC balls up 1-0 to the crisp salesman, because of course Gary Lineker is a spokesperson for a brand of crisps. Those are your headlines, for better or worse, this Tuesday, the 14th of March.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputation de Malaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. The show is brought to you by the Diputación de Malaga. Just to remind you that you can, the more people are registered on the census, the more resources your town hall receives. The more there is, the better services you all get. Register on the Padrón and enjoy Malaga to the full. Visit levelupmalaga.es or go to your local town hall. That is a message from the Diputación de Malaga. Right then, 2/3 of my guests today have stopped spinning around on their chairs. And so delighted to have us live back on Viewpoint. If you want to get involved with today's show, or have something that you want to cover on Viewpoint that we may not be mentioning, if you've got an issue you wish to bring up and you think we should be sharing with the panel, nay the nation, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, let's kick off, as the saying goes, with the issue that has been dominating the media for the past, well, certainly over the weekend, the great Lineker debate, and it brings into focus about whether people who are in the public eye, social media, if they're working for a corporation, if they're working for some business, should they be tweeting? Should they be staying on message? Do you think that if you are representing somebody, you should be allowed to say what you want? And was this the British government getting involved with impartiality? I mean, Lineker said that he didn't compel, and the phones have gone off already. You see, this is what we like to see. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Charles. It's John in Meehan.
Morning, John.
It was just the thought I've had several times when, as you say, you are sponsored by the deputation at the Malaga, and advertising or requesting people sign on the padron. I wondered if somebody might bring it to their notice that the padron system doesn't exactly work anymore. It probably did in times when people lived in the same place for almost ever and didn't move out. However, with people coming and going and so many properties now being owned by holiday makers, it would be much better if they devised a system whereby subsidies to local councils were assessed by the number of properties in the municipality rather than the number of people who actually lived there permanently. Because we know, like in the summer, probably the population of the coastal resorts increases by twofold.
Yeah, but I suppose the thing is there that it's a part of a census. And if you want to, I know that you can say, okay, well, in certain places that we get four times more in those hazy, crazy, lazy days of summer, quote unquote. But you've got to have a benchmark for you to begin with. And just so this is the way that they can take out how many people and how many, for example, how many dustbin men or, sorry, they're not, the waste technicians they are now, sorry, or your police services, which obviously is something that you know about.
So the problem is, though, that if it's based on an unreal number, then the result doesn't really work. I mean, for example, in England, one has the census or the electoral register, and they are separate from the assessment of the cost of running the borough.
Yeah,
those are two different factors, as I see it. That one is to vote and whatever. The other is to actually finance the running of the municipality. And that depends on the number of properties and potential as their holidaymakers and whatever, not people who live there permanently.
Yeah, thank you for the thought on that one. 952,
okay,
good to hear from you. Take care.
952 program.
Thank you very much. 952-78-4000. Campbell, have you got any thoughts on that? This is sort of in your territory, to put it mildly.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent. You either do it the houses or you do it the people. What are you paying for? What is it you're trying to raise the money for? It's for all the services, and all the services relate to the people. The number of people that are there, the rubbish, the sewage, the water, etc., etc. So, and the roads. It's a difficult one. You either do it with the properties or you do it with the people. The way they've got the system at the moment is with the people. To change the system, the hassle that's going to cause, it probably is as well, just to keep that, because there's no great advantage to going to the other one.
We've got a caller on the line. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costabland.
Morning, Kate.
Just an odd thought. Over the years, I've got a great respect for John, the person who started this one. His comments, but he did sound as though he'd been hired by the Tory Party.
I wouldn't go that far, Kate.
You'd started out with a good intro for a discussion on the
Lineker Gate, yes.
Which is one of the most important things that's been happening. I mean, for all sorts of different
reasons. One of the great
and then
things, Kate.
In we come in with municipal rates. Oh, anyway.
Yes.
No insult to John.
Your thoughts about Lineker then. Come on, Kate. I know you're chomping at the bit.
I'm jumping at the bit. I'll just say one thing briefly. He was expressing a private opinion on a private Twitter.
Yes,
he was not doing it as the presenter of the BBC, etc., etc. They've got themselves so much in twist now. The BBC has been very wary for, I would say, the whole of this century about being take the license fee issue. And it just could be moving more and more to the absolute... I'll come back, I think, right.
Thanks very
anyway,
much.
Full marks for Lineker, and the Daily Mirror's thing says that his last line this morning was, yes. The kind of response I've had for the last few days has proved that, you know, we are a kindly, caring people, or et cetera. I put it badly, I shouldn't. But the point is, it's the emphasis of political statements in the last 10 years has been on the tightness and lack of generosity, lack of intelligence of people, rather than the kind of people that most people know exist.
There are a couple of things in the case. Thank you very much. Then there are a couple of things in this one, and there's two things. There's one, which is obviously censorship, and should you better say what you say. And the other is the way that we deal with people who are trying to get away from war zones or whatever. We'll come on to those points. I've got some stuff coming in via the socials, which is the following numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And the lines are busy this morning. I think it must be that spinning round you've all been doing. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, Charles. It's John again.
Hello, John.
An apology to Kate. Of course, whilst I'm calling you, I can't listen to you. It takes a couple of minutes to actually get through. So I didn't hear your opening comments.
It's all right.
It was just something I'd already heard on one of your adverts and on your pre-promotion thing, saying that the programme was sponsored by the Deputation.
Okay. I know what you mean. More coffee needed. John, thanks for that. No problem at all.
Deputation
de Malaga. Okay. Thanks very much for that. Anyway, thanks for the call in. Right then. Some comments coming on the social medias. The Facebook page, of course, Talk Radio Europe Official. This is from Mark. BBC Match of the Day Lineker. It begins. So brace yourselves. Oh, so last weekend's Match of the Day had a few hundred thousand more viewers, according to the way that random number of fee-paying or non-licensed fee-paying secret box users' habits are voluntarily used. Obviously, because as you may or may not be aware, there were no presenters on the BBC's flagship football association football run, not you know the other one. Obviously, rubberneckers would tune in when they usually wouldn't, and thought they might do so more or less now that he's been reinstated. I'm not a big fan of his, nor non-genuine asylum traffic seekers, but he's allowed his right to his freedom of speech as a freelance presenter, stroke broadcaster, and as a paid advertising non-BBC Walker's Crisp celebrity. And he's put Giles Brown over to you. Thank you, Mark. This one as well, coming in. let's have a look. We've got... Somebody has to try and to provoke the British people to wake up and think for themselves, but sadly, looks like it's already too late for them. 952-78-4000. This one in as well. Let's have a look here. Talk radios, registering on the page on Mr. Pallet where you live is not the same as registering as a resident in Spain, blah blah blah. It's nice to know how many people there are, as Campbell said. People watch Match of the Day to see the football highlights, not to watch Gaz. It could have been the same viewership if they had Mr. Blobby or a or Binliner as the host. 952-78-4000. Looking forward to your points on this one. So where were we? Right then. So the thoughts of should you be allowed, if you are a person who is in the spotlight, should you be using that as a platform to put forth your views, if you are working for A broadcaster, a national broadcaster, which, as the Daily Mail and Express are telling, is funded by the license payer. We'll go from left to right, shall we? So, Campbell, let's have the thoughts of Campbell today, shall we?
Okay. The Lineker, they've made an issue of it with the BBC, which has diverted the opinion and diverted all thought from the actual subject itself of the people coming across and what he was actually saying. So that's been one side to where the emphasis has gone. Lineker himself, he signed a contract, presumably, for his 1.75 million or whatever he gets a year. And that contract said that he had to be discreet, I would assume it would say something like that, on what he does. You can't stop somebody's personal opinion. He didn't do it whilst on the BBC. He had a name and then was a celebrity before the BBC. The BBC didn't make him that celebrity. So that I would say he is allowed to, he should be enabled to give his own personal opinion on his own Twitter thing. If it happened to be a Twitter one associated with the BBC, that would not be right. The BBC survives, and its major reputation is that it is, it goes, well, in theory, is not biased in any direction. I think we'll all have examples of that maybe not happening. But he is a sports presenter. He's not a major journalist on it or anything like that. But he does give opinions on sports. Excuse me, it must be Kate's throat I've developed.
Yeah,
that's right. And my feeling is that it's a bit of a storm in a teacup to a certain extent that's been developed and made bigger. It's now bouncing back where it's beginning to come against Lineker and against the people and saying, well, they shouldn't have done that. But the BBC... the major people in the BBC, they've handled it terribly. Whether they've had pressure from above or whatever, I don't know, but they really have handled it very badly.
I mean, should we have, you know, sports people, celebrities, call them what you will, weighing into and getting involved with the, you know, in sort of issues of national concern? I mean, we had this, you know, we had the famous taking of the knee, didn't we, and all those sort of things. So, you know, I mean, should they be doing that?
Well, it's surely the nature of the beast that they are motor mouths. That's how they work. And you're not going to be able to stop them thinking or anything like that. So you can't put a gag on them. You can't say you're not allowed to talk on politics or anything like that. But they can't be overtly political when they're on.
Ron, you've got a smile on your face.
It brings back some memories of the United States.
You know, really,
if you're going to start censoring people and stuff on Twitter and all of these things. It's unfortunate that that wasn't an option back in the 8 or 10 years ago when Trump started his tweeting, and after his election, he was accused of, well, not accused of, it was a fact that he'd told almost 4,000 lies, and most of that on Twitter and whatever. I'm not into all that stuff, but he should have been censored right from the very beginning with a lot of that.
I mean, if you think about the reach that a sports person has or a Kardashian shudder has, then you know, they're in a position where they can sway influence.
He's a president of the United States, 330 some odd million people, you know, yeah. With Fox News and everybody, well, Fox News supporting everything he said, you know.
Yeah, Claudio, have we had any Spanish? Mark, good morning to you, Claudio. Just to wake you up there. Do we have any Spanish? Any sort of presence of this with any Spanish commentators, sports people making their political or making points against the government, saying things online? The Prince of Russell?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's a lot more common than in the UK that Spanish journalists are quite political. Radio hosts. Also, they have their political inclinations. However, thankfully, in Spain, there is quite a lot of freedom of speech, so they haven't really banned anyone from their opinions. So, I think, like, if you believe in freedom of speech, and you have to respect everyone's freedom of speech. One can't defend one person because you believe what they say and then ask for the other to be censored. So as long as what they're saying is not illegal or it's not a libel or anything that would real hate, because some things that people haven't liked, they've been very quick to say it was hate speech. But I mean, if it really incites to murder or terrorism or something like that, obviously then it should be censored. But one has to be very careful when it comes to censoring people and violating their constitutional rights.
952-784-1000. If you want to get your thoughts on this one, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-1000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's to the WhatsApps that we go. Hi, Giles, Andy and Fuengirola. Regarding all the debate about Gary Lineker expressing a personal view via his own personal Twitter account, not on the BBC, to prove it was a politically motivated witch hunt against him, you only have to say two words, and those two words are Alan Sugar. How come the likes of Daily Mail editors and their readers weren't up in arms about him expressing his political views? Of course, Lord Sugar of The Apprentice was expressing some very right of centre views on his own Twitter accounts, so that's been put up as well. Meanwhile, just to let you know, good morning to our Mallorca listeners, by the way, our brand new transmission site located in the Alfabia, and I probably got that completely wrong. Looks like we're back up and running there. Lineker has every right to make good morning to John Harper. Lineker has every right to make statements and shows compassion, except he said nothing about the thousands of immigrants that died building the Qatar Stadium. Wonder why not? Meanwhile, this is another one coming. Absolutely right, he should be reinstated. As a freelancer, he's entitled to his own views, which, by the way, were completely accurate. If he'd supported the government, it would have been a non-story. And the BBC's not biased in any directions. Really? Someone inform Lara Kusenberg. The biggest issue for the BBC is lack of consistency on such policy. They've allowed some to tweet freely and not to others. Campbell.
Just a wee bit of information. I think he did speak quite a lot against Qatar. So that John's wrong in that. But he wasn't crucified for doing that. And as somebody said, yes, as long as you don't criticise the British government, they'll allow you to do it.
Interesting. This one in from Elizabeth. Good morning to you. Hello there. Lineker is not employed by the BBC. He's a freelancer. He is contracted to talk on sports. When speaking about sports, he must be unbiased. At other times, he can say what he likes. I would rather the BBC always spoke slash reported the truth, no matter what that is. The trouble with the truth is it's not unbiased. Stay safe and take care. Thanks for that one as well. Meanwhile, being sent some stuff in. He's getting some. George Lineker, son of Gary, has been getting some abuse as well. Social media is mad, isn't it? Over the last few days on Insta, never had so much, many nice messages. On Twitter, never had so much abuse. It's not even anything to do with me. Ah, yes, the joys of social media. And of course, any second now, somebody will come in with, there's nothing social about social media. If you want to get involved, we go live to the phones again. They're lively today. Morning, Corley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? We've got a delay. Yes, hello, Kate.
Right, I found the Daily Mail quote from Lineker. It's heartwarming to have seen the empathy between their plight from so many of you. We remain a country of predominantly tolerant, welcoming and generous people. Downing Street and all the propaganda that's been coming out from the government is assuming the hardest, ungentle, unwelcoming and ungenerous instincts of the population, which is not true. And it's His point about the language is exactly like that of the 1930s Germany.
Yeah.
It's absolutely accurate. He didn't say Nazi, and he didn't say other things. He presumed to say. No one's mentioned that the reason for the kind of comments coming out at the moment is because the government has just issued a bill that's gone through the Commons. Hope to God the Lord stop it. Which is a very intolerant, inoperative. I mean, really, you couldn't work it. Program for stopping any person coming via sea, no kicking them back. They would have no rights at all. And I can remember my stomach churned as I thought of this. The number of all of us who are spawned from people whose parents, who sometime in the last number of centuries, upped and got moved because they wanted to protect the families they needed to. Most of the immigrants, people coming from the boats, from just five war-turned countries.
Indeed.
So it's basically the beginning of last week, the Home Secretary of the UK,
yes,
issued a programme for the way of teaching immigrants via sea in the most inhumane and inoperative. That's what I mean, inoperable. You couldn't run a... anyway, get off the car.
Thank you very much indeed, Kate. Good to have you with us as always. We go live to live again. Morning, Coolio, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, Coolio, live on TRE.
Hello.
Hello. Felix, good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. I've got a very low opinion of the media in general.
Thank you very much.
I don't mean theory.
Okay, thank you.
Because it's a small fish in a big pond. I'm talking about the general media. Timur Hesh came out with an article in which he charged that that the American government, led by Biden, had actually planted explosives on the pipeline that runs across the Baltic to Germany, from Russia to Germany. And I've got very strong opinions about this because Cy Hirsch is a man who has uncovered big stories in the past. And he does this by means of not divulging his source because he believes that there are people inside government,
right,
who always who disagree with the line that the government is taking, sometimes very serious issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not come forward unless they're absolutely sure that their identity won't be divulged.
Yeah.
It can actually mean life and death. And so therefore he guarantees everybody knows that he will guarantee the sanctity of the source. And if you read any of his articles, even, he goes this far, if you read any of his articles, you will not get anything or any word or any phrase or any slip which would draw you back to the identity of the source. That's why he gets stories.
Right, okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
he maintained in his article that Biden and the British and the EU common market, all these countries like Germany, that they were behind the exploding the pipeway running across the Baltic,
right,
which cost billions and billions to make.
Uh-huh.
And what the point I'm making to you here about the media is that the New York Times, the paper of record in America, that'd be like the Irish Times and BBC in England, that it refused to print one word about this article by Cy Hirsch.
Right.
Not one word. It simply blanked them out, blanked the article out. Now, that's what I mean by problem with the media. They've got great power, and it's what the lead through diversions like that guy at the front at the start of the program, John, did. They divert away from the story. They talk about trivia, but they can blank important stories out, such as the war in Ukraine at the moment. That's been almost totally blanked out. The truth of what has been happening there from 2014.
Yeah,
big cover up by blanking out parts of the story.
Okay.
And this is what they did with Cy Hirsch, the New York Times, and it is the center of the media in America. So I've got great problems with the media, with the BBC. And by the way, I'll just finish on this point. Kate, etc., do not understand the problem here. There is parts of the world now, or there are parts of the world now, where it is becoming almost impossible to live in. The tropic area, north and south especially. And if you're talking about small numbers of people coming across by boat, we're really talking here about billions of people on the move. And this is the real essence of this story of immigration. How is Britain going to face up to global warming? How are they going to face up to billions of people coming across and on the move across to Europe to get out of the heat?
Wow.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much, Felix. A wide variety of topics there, I think you'll agree.
This is TRE.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputathion de Malaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952. Well, if you want to get involved with today's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, let's look at some of the points. It's good to have you. We have a broad church in this morning. I'm joined in the studio by Gamble Ferguson, Ron Yates, and Claudio De La Torre, who has got the atmospherics just to his liking now. Have you got the right sunlight? You got the right temperature? You're like a wallflower, you are sometimes, Claudio. It's 952-78-4000. Some comments coming back to Felix's wide-ranging phone call in. Let's have a look. I'm always dubious of anyone who uses or cites anonymous sources when questioned, as Hirsch has done many times. We always try and say, I think one of the rules, basic rules in the mainstream media, guilty as charged, is that you try and get three independent news sources before you go on with it, rather than just saying, I can't tell you them. I can't tell you my sources, because otherwise they'll be reviled. Meanwhile, Andy, the Tory government obviously admire the Chinese model of governance. They've passed legislation to hinder people protesting. They've passed legislation to reduce the impact of workers striking. Now they want to suppress freedom of opinion to criticise government policy. Meanwhile, good morning to good morning to Mark. He said he's happy he got his bit read out. His day is going well. Good to have you. Yeah, indeed. Looking at, this is the thing, is the point that not a big fan of his, but surely he's entitled to his own tweet, and the BBC can't pick and choose their points. If he can't, he didn't say 1939 Nazi Germany. Had he said 1939 Germany. I'm not even being invited onto my blah 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 blah. I think the problem is that the language he's used by comparing it to the 30s is perhaps it's the echoes of history coming down again, isn't it? Because we know what happened when we started to demonize people coming over. And as Felix said, he said the claims there are billions on the move. Now, the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, in an article said there were billions who would want to come to the UK, which is quite a statement for the Home Secretary of a country to make. And when you look, Claudio, when you look at the number of people who come across from from sub-Saharan Africa, Morocco, wherever, Afghanistan, Libya, come to Spain, for example, compared to the UK, it's very, very small indeed. And, you know, Vox notwithstanding the occasional spasms from them, we don't seem to have this, or am I getting the temperature on this one wrong, Claudio?
Well, it depends the time, because there have been times where there have been huge amounts of immigration through the Canary Islands. Now you don't get as many through the Straits of Gibraltar because it's very controlled. So it has changed, and there has been quite a lot of controversy because now the profile has changed of the migrants, and they're leaving Algeria and they're coming through Mallorca and the Balearics through a new route which they had never come from before. So it's definitely always been a controversial thing because they've raised security issues that they don't know if they have any kind of like a criminal record in their country that they can't be vetted, etc., etc. So, yeah, it usually is on the political debate also here.
And we had those horrendous scenes, of course, with Melilla, didn't we? When the
exactly.
And what was it, 30 deaths as they came over the fence or tried to?
Definitely, because Morocco has always used immigration as a political weapon for many, many years. So when there was the diplomatic crisis between Spain and Morocco, usually controls immigration, of course, when they receive money from Europe or Spain, or when it politically interests them. But when it politically doesn't interest them and they want to pressure Spain or the EU, what they do is that they allow huge amounts of migrants to cross, like it happened 2 years ago when there were videos where they could see the Moroccan border guards literally open the fences and allow thousands of unaccompanied minors to cross into Ceuta, and it was a revenge for Spain's Sahara policy at the time. So yeah, now things have calmed down because they've reached a new agreement and they've been pumped a huge amount of money. So things have calmed down again until the next crisis, which we never know when can happen.
And we've got the election soon. Ron, Canada has a relationship with its immigration, with its migrants, with its refugees, has always been welcoming.
Yes, and I hope we remain that way. I think I mentioned when I was on here, we brought those 25,000 Syrians over to Canada. Mm. You know, they were coming from a country where their cities had been bombed and people were obliterated and you know, people were being murdered. And we brought 25,000 of those people over to Canada. And I've heard nothing. And that was several years ago.
Yeah.
And I've heard nothing but good things about these people that came over there. They ended up buying their own homes. They had some help from the churches. It wasn't from the government, which everybody thought. And there was a lot of people in an uproar over that. But it actually came from a lot of the churches in these small communities. In the town that I live in, we had 20,000 people. And we have four or five of those couples with their families moved into our community. And they own their own homes, and they've got jobs now. One of them started his own business. Say with Afghanistan, we brought many, many people. I don't know the numbers, but a lot of people from Afghanistan into Canada. And I've got to know a couple of them because they have. One of them has a business in one of our malls locally, and his family. They have 25 of these seamstress shops around the province of Ontario, and wonderful people and hardworking, buy their own homes, and you know they're just. You have to give them a chance.
Yeah, but perhaps one of the problems was the fact that they were being... I mean, the number of people I had, people saying, oh, well, they're sending over young men of fighting age, etc., and all that sort of stuff, and it's going to be, look at Sweden, and there's no-go areas and the whole situation.
The one family that's in Midland, in the town that I live in, there's a jewelry store, and there was a watch salesman there, and this... I don't know whether he was a homeless guy or what he was, but he saw the salesman putting this watch on the counter, and I think it was a Rolex watch, and he ran in, pushed the salesman out of the way, grabbed the watch, and started running out the door. Well, this Afghanistan fellow, his store is just like 50 feet away, and he saw this starting, and he chased the guy down And he tackled him in the parking lot and held on to him until the police got there. And I talked to him afterwards. I went and shook his hand and thanked him for it. And he said, you know, the Canadians, they come to Afghanistan and they help save our country. They save us people, my families. Mm-hmm. So now it's my turn. I can give back. I'm here now. You know, the guy brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the Scottish response to immigration has always been remarkable as well. You think about the Italian communities and even the Syrian communities coming to Scotland.
Even allow the English in.
Exactly, yes. Seeking political refugee status from Westminster.
Well, that's right. Yeah, no, it's yeah. There's a big Jewish population as well in Glasgow. There, so I think most countries can handle it, but there's always some people that will be against it. And the unfortunate thing is, just now, is that with all the methods of communication that there are, these people can shout very loudly, and the politicians take them into account, because the politicians have to go with the wind all the time. And all the dramas and things that there have been at the moment are politicians trying to keep in with their own party, with the right side of the far right of their own party. And this is the problem. They're all looking at the next election. They're looking at whether they are going to be able to survive as the prime minister within their own party themselves. So there's fear. Fear, basically, and uncertainty covers it. Lack of self-confidence. And to a certain extent, the UK's got to get back its self-confidence. But the way it's going at the moment, it just is getting worse and worse. I was just showing you, completely off this subject, a notice I got, from Correios, saying that I've got to, because of Brexit...
Congratulations. That's the first use of the B word. Minutes into the hour. I thought we were going to get away with the whole hour without mentioning the B word, Campbell.
That's right. Well, Gary Lineker, not Gary Glitter, I should hasten to add. Gary Lineker was against Brexit, and he was vocal against it and all that sort of thing. But no, it's I'm being asked to submit some huge amount of stuff, paperwork and everything like that, to get some diet supplements for my dog from the UK, and I'm terribly sorry, but the dog is just going to have to do without, because I'm not doing all this. It's life's too short to be filling all these
forms. If you're going to be on the radio, you have to leave. Never say anything about, you know, not providing for your animals. I will now get a slew of messages in saying that, Campbell, the whole thing. So
the dog can't write or use the telephone, so we're all right so far. Everybody that knows me knows that me and my dog are friends, even when he bites me. But
people are asking why you got diet supplements for your dog.
I read somewhere that the dog food that you get, why is it coloured brown all the time? It's because it's had all the goodness taken out of it before it gets there. So it's stuff that fills the dog up, and that's about that. And dogs don't live nearly as long as they used to live. And so this diet supplement would guarantee that the dog would live to 100.
Right. Okay.
So even in dog years.
In dog years.
So that was the thing.
And of all the things that people might be trying to smuggle into Spain, Campbell. Well, dietary supplements for the dog, I didn't think would, you know.
Well, I don't think you smuggle them.
Well, you might as well. Look at the paper where you've got to bring in. You'd be easy bringing in sort of 5 kilos of Bogota flakes, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you've just reminded me. I'm going over there. I'm going over there this weekend.
That's the UK, not Bogota, obviously.
But yeah, and I'll come back. Well, I'll bring this stuff back with me. Well done, Charles. That's it for my dog. So there we are. So all the dog lovers, I'm not. I'm not abandoning my dog after all.
Right, then here you go. That's a heartwarming thing to the end of the first half. Right, we're coming up to the end of the first half of Viewpoint. In the second half, we'll be covering a variety of stories as well. We're getting EU supplement advice here now, Campbell. You've opened up a tin of not brown worms. But in the second half, I want to look at a variety of subjects, including this these ominous signs coming out of China about these new mini subs that they're going to be creating. And also, Campbell's got a few bits and pieces he wants to get a hit off his chest in the subject of property and management and all things like that. That's all coming up in the second half of Viewpoint here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. Just to let you know that most people are back in their usual places on TRE today, so that means Stephen Ritson will be live with Europe today. Just as in for Selena, who is currently on her holidays, Hannah is with us with TRE in the afternoon from 4 till 6. Howard Breton joins us for Spain today from 6 until 7. And then it's Tuesday today, which means it's the repeat, of Viewpoints. Jer Sweeney is back tomorrow because tomorrow is live on air from 7 until 9. That's all coming up in the second half, but we're going to go to the national and international news and then back four, the second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, and our panel of invited guests.
Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputación de Málaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, joined in the studio by Claudia De La Torre, Ron Yates and Campbell Ferguson. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And the dog dietary supplements rumbles on, Campbell. What have you done?
No
supplements in the whole of the EU? Exclamation mark.
Exactly. No, that's it. I've got to research them here, and that's the thing. You know,
in a world with carbon emissions, etc., the thought of huge Chinese supertankers taking your dog food supplements,
I think they were made in the UK.
Right.
To be fair in that. So the super tanker was coming from Glasgow down to
getting away with tomato deliveries.
Algeciras or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, with tomatoes on the way back.
On the way back.
Something like that.
And turnips, etc. Right then. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Let me just get this out of the way before we bring Campbell on again.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputación de Málaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we're back with a Viewpoint. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. One of the things that we do on Viewpoint is that we allow you to have your thoughts, if you like, listeners, on a variety of subjects. Could be the big subjects about migrants or Gary Lineker, or it could be something a little more local. Campbell, what you want to get something off your chest?
Yeah, well, first of all, I've had a call from my dog, and I'm forgiven. So just so that everybody's
I mean, calm down about Campbell's
Yeah,
pooch,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah. There's tails wagging at Fury and everything like that. So we're okay.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was, and I sent you a thing a couple of days ago, an article I'd just written. It was about building risks, reducing building risks and defects on properties. It's a bit of a rage, as you know. My company, to put in the advert, is Survey Spain. We do snagging surveys on new buildings and things like that. But it was we've had one or two clients recently who mentioned the name Otero. Now, I've got to be careful, obviously, what is said. But it seems that everything is not quite right with the developments there. The thing seems to be falling apart, and people coming on to me saying it's like living in a town that's just been bombed, one of the Ukrainian towns or something like that.
Right.
That they're sitting in their house. They've got half-completed houses all around. There's diggers just lying there. The roads are partly built and everything like that. And you just wonder, why have these people gone into that house in the first place? But that's another matter. Everybody's got to look after themselves, but in instances like this, where a company collapses, people must have known for quite some time that there were financial problems in that company. All the professionals involved with it, the lawyers, the architects, the project managers, the tradesmen, they will have known. The promoters, building contractors, they won't have been being paid. They'll have seen the specifications being skimped down. The architects will have agreed to that there. And as we've found in one or two developments where we go in, we do a snagging inspection, we say there's all these things missing from the specification, the agreed specification, and the answer came back was, oh, we forgot about those. But the price is still the same. And it's something that can't really be inserted in to the house once it's done. So it's just how people can be protected from this sort of thing, I just don't know. You've got to look after yourself. You've got to get a good lawyer, get the contract properly. The difficulty is when you look at a house, it's the house that you want. It's maybe off plan, but you can see that it's going to be a good location. It's going to tick all the boxes that you want. And the developer or the agent's going to say, well, no, if you're asking for surveys, if you're asking to project the development or supervision of the project while it's going ahead, you're just being difficult. The guy behind you in the queue of people, of buyers, isn't like that. So either sign here or go away. So it tends to be that they've got to take the contract as it is, and people get bullied into it, and there are problems. So I don't think there's really any way out of it. It is something that's always going to happen, but we've just got to make sure that as much as possible, people who do create the problems are brought to book so that everybody acts in a proper manner. Mm. There are many developers who do act in a proper manner. There's many professionals who act in a proper manner, who've got conscience, who do look after their clients as much as they can. But at the end of the day, it's going to be, they've got to look after number one. They've got to look after their family. They've got to look put bread on the table. So it's everybody's got to look after themselves. But we try, we help clients. But once the companies have collapsed, there's not terribly much that can be done apart from the lawyers.
And that's going to take... That's good, especially with companies such as if it's a large company with several developments on the go, it's going to take a long time to sort out. Claudia, you're involved in the property business as well, aren't you? In a consultancy type of way, can we describe you as consultancy, or are you involved in the cut and thrust of day to day property development?
You could call me consultant.
Consultant is good. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there have been some, you know, it's a bit of a tremor, isn't it? Because people are saying, oh, the market's going up and up and up, and we've had people in saying, oh, we need stuff in. Should we be getting a bit more sanguine, do you think, about the pitfalls and not everything that glitters is
There's quite a lot of uncertainty at the moment, especially the interest rates have risen a lot. And then we, all the agents have the same problem, is that there's not enough properties on the market. So there is a huge amount of demand still, but there's just not really anything to sell because all the properties got sold and now people don't want to sell at the moment. So yes, there's still lots of Northern Europeans and digital nomads, etc. Who want to buy or rent or whatever, but they need to build more houses because there's just not enough going on.
Interesting, and we'll see how that one develops. But is it a buy and beware situation, do you think, then, Campbell? Is people who are going to take things into the property show so much, but it is something we have to look at, because there were talks of, and those of us who remember what it was like 20 years ago with the off-plan situation, when people were being almost tele-canvassed into, don't buy the house, but buy the off-plan, and you'll be able to pay your rent, Mr. Jones, on those two will pay for your third house, and of course that all ended up in a very city situation. Well,
that's right. It's I haven't seen that happening just now. As Claudia says, that there is definitely a shortage of resale properties that are ready now to be sold. So people, if they're wanting to come down here, as many are, fortunately, we're all we're all climate immigrants when it comes down to it. We can call ourselves expats, but we're all down here because it's a better climate than it is back home.
Looking at a man who's just got 30 feet of snow every morning.
That's right. No, it's not just the man, the Canadian man here. It's I was talking with friends in Scotland last night, and they've got snow, they've got sorts of stuff, and cold and wet. And yuck.
It's not Canadian.
There's
though.
Definitely a deep housing crisis, especially a lot of young people just can't rent, even people that have good salaries. Yeah. We're talking about couples that have good salaries and that have the means, but they just a lot are asking for a year up front. They're asking for crazy requirements. So it's quite sad because there are a lot of people who would like to rent something and they can't. So even the prices for rooms have just to rent a room have hit a record high of €500 on the coast. That's average.
This is the thing, because we keep saying all these new builds and we keep saying these new plans for only the other week, and I'm sorry to be a bit Costa del Sol centric, but we're seeing another large hotel group come to the Costa del Sol up at Banyan Tree up in La Quinta, for example, the Quinta area. And this is all very well and good, and it's going to provide employment and it's going to provide jobs and for the construction industry and also for the hotel trade and the whole thing. But you've got to ask yourself, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox and start singing the Internationale, but you've got to start asking yourselves, where are the people who work, where the hotel staff are going to be working, where the gardener's going to be living? Because it's all very well having this, but if you haven't got the infrastructure to get those people, because they don't all drive and they can't afford to live, because as you said, prices have gone through the roof. So we need to have some sort of, and again, I'm not going to say join me, the Trotskyite behind the mic is going to go off on one here, but you have to put in social housing for these people, because these otherwise the whole thing just falls apart.
Well, it's you've got all the tourists coming and there's nobody there to serve them. That's what it got like. Icos, the hotel that we can almost see from here, they've got a ship, they've got places in Manilva where they've got buses going backwards and forwards to Manilva to get people to work in that, and it's quite far away. It's the short term rentals, the Airbnb is the thing, and the type is this thing that has destroyed the rental market, because people now can very much see that they can get a rental for for the 2 or 3 months of the summer that is going to, and the place lies empty, maybe for the rest of the time, or is offered to young people for 9 months, but you're going to have to be out in the summer.
Yeah.
So where do they live in the summer? You can't all live on the beach and everything like that, and it can be quite cold.
I tried it in the 80s, trust me on that.
I tried it in the 60s as well. It's bloody cold. I mean, sorry, it's awfully cold.
It's bleeding, yes.
Oh, awfully cold on the beach. It is a big problem, and it's a problem that's going to have to be dealt with. Barcelona has tried to do it, but all that they've done there is that they've stopped any development, anybody providing new properties there, because it just doesn't make any sense for their development, and therefore they've made the matters worse. So that's what rent controls and everything like that can do.
And we go live to the lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Felix again here.
Yes, Felix.
Listening to your guest there, I think that there needs to be a complete end to all building, all development in Spain. Spain is actually sitting on a desert. And some of your guests there know that very well because they've talked about it before. One of the biggest adders to global warming, making the situation worse, is the use of cement, building of all kinds. And yet, the guests that you've got on there who are in the building trade in one way or another don't face up to this reality. You're making the situation worse, really. And the whole system is heading, and the people in it, and the people running the capitalist show are heading over a cliff like lemmings. And this is now becoming a major problem. The south of Spain has got no water. Yet you're talking about more building, bringing more people in, bringing more people from Northern Europe into Spain. If Spain had a decent government, you know, it would declare an end to all building, all development, tear down lots of these urbanizations that exist without water, because they're just soaking up the water that exists. It's an impossible situation. And you talk then about the situation in Africa and the southern world with literally hundreds of millions on the move trying to escape the heat. And Spain's going in quite the opposite direction, and the Social Democratic Party leading it. Unbelievable. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Thank you for your call.
Rant, but it's true. Thank you.
Thank you for the call in there. Claudio. You were nodding your head in agreement to some of the things.
There is a water crisis, and we really need to regulate it because it's just getting worse and worse. In the south of Spain, the temperatures are a lot higher than in other parts in Europe. So ideally, we don't need more population; we need less because the resources are very low. And the water is a problem, especially with the golf courses, the hotels, the swimming pools. It's somewhere where the water consumption in summer skyrockets. So they haven't built new wells and dams for many, many decades. So I think that we do need some population control because... Ooh. I'm not saying from having children.
Exactly.
I don't mean it in that way. I mean having less people
in the water supply.
Exactly.
Because we can't just keep building more and more and more and expecting there to be water resources. I think the Costa del Sol has reached a point where it is full. That there is, you just have to go down the highways to see how built up it is.
If you can get down the highways anybody who's following Ron, by the way, watch out because you're in big trouble.
Indeed. So I think, there needs to be some balance and control the water situation before it gets out of hand.
Got another caller on the line, 952-784-4000. Morning caller, we're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Johnny Meehouse again.
Hi, John.
On the water shortage in southern Spain, I thought there was a scheme at one time, an idea, to pipe water from the north of Spain, where there's an abundance, to the south of Spain. I mean, when one thinks that maybe that's not possible, I was connected in a way with North Thames Gas, North Sea Gas, and that was pumped in 48-inch mains from Scotland down to London. So it's something that could be done with water, I think. That might be a solution. Just a thought.
Okay, well, a pipeline, yet another pipeline on TRA this morning.
Yeah, and it's there have been talk of increasing the height of the dams at La Concepcion, which is going to flood Giles out of his house, probably, exactly. Or something like that.
Luckily, so, I'll be able to escape in one of my many reliable cars.
Yeah, well, or on one of your boats.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. But no, yes, there is a need to create more water supply. Or more water holding capacity. All water in Spain underground belongs to the state. In fact, you can't just build a well, dig a well, or anything like that. That the state owns the water that's underground, overground, and whatever. That sounded familiar.
I was saying
whether Wombles are down here or not, I don't know. But it's water. Is a major problem. So you've got energy and you've got water shortages. And as Claudio says, the Costa del Sol is full. They're still building more because these builders, the contractors, and everything like that, they're still getting the finance. There's lots of people with finance. To a certain extent, there's too much credit in the world, and that's what's creating all the developments that there are. That the money is there, so the builders will get the money and they'll carry on building the same as they did with the crisis the last time until something falls apart. And with the bank in California,
the
Silicon Valley Bank, yeah. SVB, is that going to be the start of the similar to the Lehman's Bank, the last financial crisis? One hopes not, or something, because it's happening. It's hitting the technology center, and that's where, for the whole of society, we depend upon them creating the clever things that are going to mean that we can survive with less water, with less electricity.
Just a quick one before.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, and just before I go back to back home to my dog and bow down to him as usual.
Indeed.
I've got to leave. I regret.
You've got to leave. I just leave you this one. Hi, Giles. Totally agree with the last caller about environmental damage in southern Spain. It's an ugly concrete strip, over commercialised. By the way, better a Trotskyite than a right wing. Anyway, thank you, David, for that one in Kettering. But listening, Campbell, I know you've got a dash. So thank you so much for joining us. And send your regards to what's the noble hound's name?
The dog is called Zuma. Because he is a water. He is Zuma. He is a water dog, and it was named after Paw Patrol. Canino Patrulia, I think it's called in Spain, which is a child's cartoon all about these dogs that protect people, etc., etc. And the one in the water that protects the people in the water was called Zuma.
And do you watch Paw Patrol on a regular basis?
I haven't, but I'm told that my grandchildren in Scotland do.
Right.
So that no doubt they'll come back and they'll also chastise me for not helping the poor Zuma.
Exactly. So from Paw Patrol to the Wombles to building regulations to the international situation, Campbell, thank you so much for your time today.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is brought to you by the Diputación de Málaga. Level up and register on your local town census today.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And welcome back. That ended quite quick. I wasn't expecting that. If you want to get welcome back to Viewpoint, if you want to get involved with the show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
We're back, and I said, Campbell Ferguson, thanks for your time today. He had to go off to another meeting. Somebody saying, Felix is right, tear it all down, starting with your own house. Right then, Ronnie, you had an interesting point you wanted to make about about putting one out, putting something out there for the listeners about your time in the service, and you were shipping water. Or just explain what you were saying.
No, I was on a military ship, a Canadian Navy ship, HMCS Protector.
Right,
and we had a desalination plant on board our ship because we supplied all the ships that we were a tanker. So we fueled them, we gave them their solids, their foods when they ran out of food, when we were out for any length of time, they needed goods transferred. Personnel would be transferred back. But anyway, we were back and forth with all of these ships. We would have anywhere from 6 to 10 ships sailing with us, and we would keep them supplied with fuel and fresh water. And so I just don't understand why it would be that complicated, why they don't put desalination systems in. Our whole ship back in, it's 1968 and 69 when it was built, but that whole ship, everything included, the guns and the ship and everything, was only $27 million.
So yeah,
how much, to even with inflation and stuff, how much would it cost just to put in a desalination and purification plant?
The thing is, I mean, as we've seen this with solar energy as well, haven't we, Claudia? The fact that you think that a desalination plant or a solar energy plant, but they were remarkably resistant to anything like sort of new technology coming in. You can say because of some of the monopolies that were in place in Spain during the 90s and the noughties. And it means they've been somewhat slow to, for example, desalination plant. I mean, I know only one, and that was put in during the interesting era, shall we say, of the late 80s, early 90s, and I'm not sure if that's actually done any good anyway.
Well, that desalination plant at the time was useful because during the early 90s there was a terrible drought. The thing is, there hasn't been terrible droughts in the last 2 decades, let's say. It has rained. However, during the crisis, then there was less construction, there was less tourism, and now it started to, then the pandemic came again. So it's been a variable with the population. However, the summers are getting hotter every year. That is a reality. And the air conditioning use has gone up. So, and there are more golf courses, etc. So, yeah, the water consumption has gone up remarkably.
We've got another caller on the line. Morning, caller 11 Thierry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. I find it quite ironic. I think I've missed the government telling us about the water shortage, because I'm not aware of there's a water shortage anywhere, and I don't know that they've not stopped people filling their pools up, have they? They've not stopped the urbanisations watering their urbanisations with the little red roses. I don't think they've shut down the car washes yet. So I don't know where this water shortage is, because plenty of it getting pumped around. So there's definitely not a water shortage here. It's just another one of these government fear things. So there's billions of gallons of water underneath Malaga. There's vast, great big deposits down there. And that's why so many people in the Campo put in the boreholes to draw the water up.
Yeah.
So, but there's definitely no water shortage. But what I do find ironic, when you started this morning about Mr. Lineker, and I've defended free speech on this program numerous times, and I would defend his right to free speech, but he is someone who doesn't work for the BBC, as someone pointed out, and this is more than what he just said. It's about his tax problems. And I do, it does stick in my claw, these hypocrites, because everybody's quick to shut down people like, what's his name? Tate, is it? The so-called influencer.
Oh, yeah. The one who's been arrested in Romania, that guy, yeah?
Yeah. In a European country, and he spent nearly 2 months in prison, and he's not been charged. So regardless of whether you think he's guilty or not guilty of his the accusations, the fact that he's in prison without being charged is terrible. But like I said, free speech. People keep getting shut down. You've done it numerous times on this show recently, Giles, and that's why I tend not to get involved so much now. But do you remember John in Marbella used to say about no-go zone areas all the time?
Yeah.
You kicked him off and banned him.
I didn't kick him off and ban him. John.
He did,
John.
He did your bar. So, but anyway, my point is, because my father's a similar age as that, John, he's 90 next year, and where he goes for his paper every day has become a little bit of a no-go zone area, and he's a little bit afraid of going up the shop now. And this is not having to go at immigration, it's just the fact there's a lot of kids hanging around, and a 90-year-old man doesn't want to get knocked over by someone on a scooter bombing around the shop door. So a no-go area to a 90-year-old Englishman living in London is different to some 50-year-old man who lives in Marbella. So
So there are no ozone areas for sure, and it's how you perceive your area around you. But it's funny how now everybody seems to, like there this morning, suddenly now people shouldn't be coming to the Costa del Sol. We shouldn't be building new urbanizations because they are now feeling under threat. Yet anyone who said during Brexit that they felt under threat because people were moving into their area in poorer areas and taking over the jobs and the flats and the rents going up, then that was wrong and they were shut down for that. But now it's affecting the more wealthy people, then they are now starting to have their little say. So like I've said on numerous occasions, go on.
Well, I'm making the point. The big point I'm making, Peter, and thanks for the call in, mate. But the point I'm making is the fact that we need joined up thinking in terms of if you let the markets dictate exactly what's going to happen, then the cost of properties in certain areas will just go up and up and up. I'm not having a pop against because wealthy people are feeling threatened. But what I'm saying is that you need to put in a coordinated housing, transportation, and infrastructure program. That was the point I'm saying.
You know how that works, Giles. I've got friends in the build. I sold a house yesterday in the UK. I put it on auction, put a 180,000 ceiling on it, a floor on it, and it went for 238,000. I watched that live yesterday. Mine were coming. Mine was 227 houses of the number 227 going through. They either didn't even get through the starting gate, or they went berserk. Now, my house is ex-council, four-bed end terrace. Now, there's a large living room in it. They go straight in, cut that in half, turn it into five, put five people in there, 400 a month, walking distance to the general hospital, $2,000 a month coming in. Now, the governments are what causes the problem. Capitalism doesn't. If I'm an investor and I want to invest in a rundown area and buy a rundown house, start renting out, then I will bring that area up. But when governments cap rent, private individuals don't get involved in those areas where there's rents because their figures don't work out. You can't go and buy a place for 200,000, rent it for $2,000 a month if the government's saying the maximum you can get here is 1,500 a month. So they just won't invest in it. So it's not capitalism, it's government interference which causes the rent problems. That's the problem with rents. Nothing to do with capitalism. And talking of capitalism, and as I've said on numerous occasions, they will never get those interest rates back to where they were. Started yesterday, the last few days. We've had the banks going under. The small banks are in trouble, many of them, and the Fed will not be able to raise interest rates now. In fact, they'll probably start cutting. I don't think they'll cut on the next one, but they'll cut just after that. Once they start cutting, mortgages become easier again, property goes through the roof again, and everybody wants property again. So you can't interfere with the market. The markets have to find their own level. Water finds its own level. Has to. It's the government interfering that causes the problems. And just quickly, before I go, taking up too much time, with Lineker, I don't like the guy, but I don't know the guy, so I shouldn't say I don't like him. I don't like how he portrays himself. He should be sacked immediately. Nothing to do with his free speech. It's the fact that he's in an argument with the BBC. Like Lewis Hamilton, he expects us all to put our hand in the pocket to help out others when he has not paid $5 million in taxes, where a Hamilton influencer goes to live in a tax-free haven while he's telling us we should all be in this together. Lineker's a hypocrite. He owes $5 million to the tax man. Whether he wins or loses that case, I don't know. I don't care. But the BBC should not be spending that sort of money, taxpayers' money, on him. They got a million ex-footballers out there. Now's the perfect time to put a woman in or a black person on there and get rid of him. And they can do it at half the money. And I'm not saying they're not worth as much as him. He's not worth that money. None of them are. Any ex-football agent, you can get hold of a football agent tomorrow. You can have a footballer in there, come in and talk about that game for a hundredth of what that man is getting paid. And it's not like he can't be replaced. It's not like he's brilliant at what he does. In fact, I don't think he's very good at what he does, my personal opinion. But he's not worth that money. Nobody on the BBC is worth that money. He doesn't put bums on seats. That's mainly white, red-blooded male watching that football. And that's why it went up. The viewing figures went up when he went off. And I guarantee they go down when he comes back again. So the BBC should just sack him.
Thank you, Peter.
Someone else in.
A wide variety of subjects you covered there, Peter.
Well,
but
not really. It's all connected, Giles. It's all about, we're all happy to say what we want when it affects us.
for the good, but we're not prepared to do the tough work for the bad, for the lesser off when it affects us. Everybody wants the good stuff, don't they? You know, favorite saying of mine, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. That's the one I'll leave you on.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Peter. Regular caller and good to have you with us.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
A couple of bits and pieces coming in there. Good to have you with us. Hi, re-desalination plants. They all use a lot of power and pollution they create is bad. Also, I live in Iznacha, beautiful part of the world. Been up there several times. And the Pantano is the largest in Andalusia. Yes, indeed. And it's at 24%. And summer is on the way. Yeah. Meanwhile, CBDC coming to a country near you. I'm not sure what that is, but please let me know and I'll get back to you on that one because I'm being a bit dense as always. Meanwhile, sounds like a great future. Somebody just said on that one. Thanks for that. Right, here's another one coming in. Your caller stated a fact that Gary Lineker owes $5 million in tax, and the next sentence says he doesn't know if he'll win his case. If it's not decided if he owes it or not, how can he state he owes it? Thank you. Meanwhile, Peter, okay, we see it. Richard, thank you for this. So, I can hear something buzzing in the background. I'm not sure what that is. Excuse me. Anyway, meanwhile, so here we go. This is from, these are several points coming in from Richard, and good morning, Richard. The weather is sponsored by Sonata German because every dog has its day. Not strictly true. The state does not own all the waterways. No, SBV is nothing like this Silicon Valley Bank. It's nothing like Lehman. Totally different circumstances. There are 12 desalination plants in Spain. There's been a drought in Spain last year. Does Peter want misogynists to have free speech? This is going back to the Tate brothers. Catalan authorities imposed post-draft water restrictions after Spain endured its longest drought since records began. Under the new rules, pools cannot be refilled. Showers are limited to 5 minutes. Many municipal fountains have been turned off. Cars cannot be cleaned and gardens can only be washed 2 days a week. Private water companies will alert authorities if households are using too much water. Also, can Peter explain how private landlords in Berlin make money if there's a rent cap? Meanwhile, thank you, Cookie. CB, Central Bank Digital Currency, coming to a country near you. Okay, thank you for that. 952-78-4000, the phone number, as we know. If I'll give you those numbers again.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Back live to the lines we go. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, John. It's John again.
Hi, John.
I don't know if you know, but the radio transmitter for all the Costa del Sol is down. So normally I'd listen to you on the radio, or Peter, on the radio while I'm ringing through. I missed everything he said. But I vaguely heard somebody say there are 12 desalination plants in Spain. Dr. Google tells me there's 765 desalination plants in Spain.
Ooh, okay.
Which amazed me because I only knew of one at Marbella.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe these are the secret. We can go off on some interesting tangents on this one. I didn't actually think we were going to go into the number of desalination plants, but thank you for
water's a little bit more interesting to me than ex-footballers.
Ah, right. Well, anyway, let's
okay.
Desalination of the day. Thank you very much for that. Now then, let's have a look at some of the things crossing the radar news. This is the Prime Minister said that UK, US and Australia will work together, keeping our oceans free with a new generation of nuclear powered attack subs. Rishi Sunak and US President Joe Biden and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in California
to announce the next stage of the AUKUS. This is the Australian, the UK and the US AUKUS partnership plan. They're going to be working on a new fleet using cutting edge technology, including UK made Rolls Royce reactors. They're saying China's, they want to counter China's growing influence in the Indo-Pacific region. Beijing has warned that the pact hurts peace and stability. I mean, you ex-Navy man. I'm sorry to drag that one earlier on, but you know, you're an ex-Navy man. You've been around a bit, upon the expression. I suppose the pact has been going for since the Second World War, basically, hasn't it? The five forces, along with, I think it was Canada and New Zealand, were in a rough alliance at one point. It's an interesting one that a bit of saber rattling towards Beijing, just in case they're having a think about doing something.
I'm really not sure what our Canadian involvement would be. I mean, at the end of World War II, we were one of the largest navies in the world, and now we're one of the smallest. I think we're down to about 30 ships all told.
How did that happen?
The only operational subs we have are ones that we bought from Scotland that they were just ready to scrap them, I think. I don't know.
That'll be the Royal Navy, not actually the Scots guys own, unless they're not telling anybody what's happening in Fast Lane. There's a lock they've not told anybody about.
No, there's nothing being developed secretly, I don't think, in Canada, no.
Yeah. So, but it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one indeed that, you know, Beijing has been making. I mean, they're warning, you know, Beijing is warning, you know, the US not to get involved in that area. I mean, it's certainly looking. Shall we say a trifle worrying after they've been shooting down balloons, Chinese meteor balloons? Only last month you were being urged to shoot down these large balloons over China. Do you think China is perhaps flexing its muscle with what they're saying, Claudio?
They shot a couple down over Canada. Actually.
Did they now?
Yeah.
Just there.
Well, China is a big threat to global security. It has been for several decades, although it's been kept quiet. And also, I think it is quite worrying. And I think China has done terrible things over the past decades, terrible human rights violations, terrible. However, it hasn't been sanctioned, it hasn't been condemned by the international community, etc., etc. Also, China has been supporting many other dictatorships around the world, giving military and financial aid. So I really do think that the West, as they have sanctioned Russia, I think they should also sanction China before things get out of hand.
Yeah, but the problem with that one is, of course, that China's put massive investment across the Caribbean, Africa, Latin America. I mean, they've really been putting their cash in there, haven't they? That's the part of the thing.
Yeah, they have a global domination plan, and they're doing very well at it. And I think that the West is lacking drive and energy to compete with China. Geopolitically, they've made huge moves all over Asia Pacific, Latin America, with military bases, investment in key sectors, etc., etc. So I really do think that Europe has been extremely weak, so has the US, in confronting China. It seems like they're scared of them and they don't want to do anything out of fear of God knows what. So I really like Russia has been seeing that everyone before was kind of scared of Russia. Now they're seeing that Russia is a lot weaker than what they thought to be. However, China, I think they want to dominate more economically and strategically through economic investments, etc., than militarily. If you see it militarily, China in their history, they haven't really been very invasive of other countries.
And we got another caller coming in. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. Felix. Three is a lot, but I would be very short. Thank you for bringing up this issue of China and this Australian issue against China. There are two main issues. One is the danger of thermonuclear war in our world,
and the second is global warming. And there are a lot of people in and around your program who are holding back and not coming forward and giving their point of view. I'll come back to this next week. Thank you, Giles. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that one. Thank you, a bit gnomic, but there you go. If we're to get into the last, this coming in. The irony is, Richard, thank you. The irony is that thermonuclear war, don't worry, you won't feel a thing. Thank you. The irony is that Fishy keeps bemoaning about China being a threat, and yet Britain still buys all its cheap plastic tats, further enriching them. Well, not only that, but also the systems to that, the surveillance systems and the electronic systems, of course, and there's been several warnings about that as well.
That's a big one. That's a very big thing that the European Union has told their workers that they must disinstall TikToks from all their phones because it's a threat to national security, well, the European security, and because there's been a lot of evidence that they are providing the information of their users to the Chinese government. It's a Chinese government-owned company, and the amount of information that they have, because these days information is power and digital data is power, and it has been discussed, and also the US Department of State has brought up the issue many times about being about TikTok banned to operate in the US unless it changes its headquarters to the US and can be kind of controlled, because as it stands now, TikTok is a Chinese company. The Chinese government has a participation in it with all the risks that that entails.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, here's a tip. Stop using TikTok. It's just melting your brain. Thank you for that. Yeah. This one, say it has indeed. China is saying, we just listened on the Facebook page, China is saying that there are nuclear subs, i.e. the subs that the ability to find nuclear armaments. The subs are nuclear powered, not armaments by power units. It's a pity and a bit worrying that China does not know the difference. Indeed. And a few more bits and pieces. Yeah, what's the difference between China today and the UK 100 years ago? Okay. Presumably with the sphere of influence that they have. But yes, TikTok certainly got itself into a bit messy. And finally, I'm just looking at some other bits and pieces, apart from the spinning monkeys that we had a little bit earlier, which I'm sure, yes, indeed, which I'm sure I've got a few of you thinking. I'm just looking at some more bits and pieces that I had coming in. No, we're almost out of time on today's viewpoint. It has once again been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's show. My thanks to my guest Campbell Ferguson, of course, who had to leave us early but got things going as well, to Claudio De La Torre. Claudio, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and thank you to everyone for listening to us.
Indeed, and also to, of course, good to have him back after. It's been a while, Ron, the nicest man in Radio Yates.
Thank you for the invitation, Giles. It's always a pleasure to come and join.
And I mean, all this sort of talking about water shortages, I mean, you must be looking forward to getting back in the snow and the 30 feet of snow outside your window that you tell me about every time.
I'll be going back actually when the golf courses are opening.
You've timed it, you know how the endless summer was, that movie about surfers. You basically do the endless summer but about golfers, don't you?
Yeah, in the area that I live, there's a town called Penetang, which is a border to Midland. It joins the aquifer in Penetang is the cleanest freshwater in the world.
And the salmon, they vote for it, do they?
And, well, I live right on Georgian Bay. We've got the longest freshwater beach in the world, and we've got the 30,000 islands on Georgian Bay.
We've got no shortage. It's buried under snow most of the time. That's the problem.
No, basically only about 3.5-4 months.
Which is when we get to see you on today's Viewpoint, Ron, as always. Exactly. Great to have you back after a couple of years, and we'll get you in again very soon indeed. Don't you worry about that.
I certainly hope so.
Right then, thanks very much for all the calls, all the messages. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Stephen Ritson and Europe Today is up next. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Europe Today for this Tuesday, the 14th of March, is up next. Thanks very much.
The view
views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.